Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as NeneCapri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, it is Tuesday night, so y'all know what time it is. It is time for the scoreboard. My name is Tony, and I join you guys here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And my co-host, you know, Jazz be strolling into the clubhouse right around 8:04, give or take a minute. But he'll be here shortly, he better. But once again, welcome everybody to the scoreboard. We are your radio tailgate party. We definitely got to update that drop from the boss lady to include everything that she has written since Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. She actually has part 5 of the P-Trap series. Yes, guys, P-Trap series has a part 5, and it will be dropping this summer, and I think right around July, but it's going to be in time for that heat of the summer and the heat in your hands from the latest from Boss Lady herself, Nene Capri. Once again, you guys are listening to the scoreboard. My name is Tony, and Mr. Jazz will be joining here shortly. So I'm going to go ahead and do some house cleaning up, housekeeping up in here. Y'all know I'll be cleaning the house between 8 and 9 on a Tuesday night. I'm just saying, guys, that was a slip of the tongue. Maybe that's what I need to be doing. But anyway, I digress. Nene Capri Presents has some awesome books in her repertoire. She has some great authors under that name, Nene Capri Presents. She has The Wrath by author Rance McNeil. I love that cover, guys. Check that cover out on Amazon as well as his page here on Facebook. She also has Sinful Lust by the beautiful Imani Hilton, that Black Widow. And don't forget, after S. Chameleon, she has that Devious Deception, Part 1 and 2. So make sure you guys pick that up. And then you have some awesome books herself. In addition to the P-Trap series, she has the Trust No Bitch series that she co-wrote with Arthur Cash. She also has Dreamweaver. And right before P-Trap 5, she had put down Diamonds, Pumps, and Glocks. She actually co-wrote that with the wonderful, I got to meet her this past October. That's that author Black. She is such a beautiful person inside and out. So make sure you pick up those books. They are available anywhere books are sold, as well as you can probably get them over at NeneCapriPresents.com. I hope I'm not misspeaking, but she has a website that you guys can go over there and join. Now, Leisha and I, you know, we are here on Blog Talk every Thursday and Friday, but we're not going to be here this week because we are actually taking our show on the road. we are going to be at All Booked Up in Detroit. Yes, guys, we are on our way to do our first road show. I'm so excited. I'll be flying out of here on Friday morning, weather permitting, of course. We have some rain and wind coming at us here in the New York area. So make sure you guys, if you're in that area, make sure you guys come and give us a shout-out, say hi, and let us know that you guys are following our show. Can't wait to meet everybody there. It is going to be with the All Booked Up Book Club, and that's with Tracy Boyd and H. Eugene. So make sure you guys follow them as well as follow me, Alicia. It's on both of our pages, and I think the event is actually on Saturday between 12 and 4. So I'm excited about that. It should be fun. Y'all know I got to make sure I act right because Lee should be pulling it out of me. I'm blaming it on her because she's not on here to defend herself. But don't tell I said so. Hey, Lee, you know I love you, girl. And I think it's right about, what? It's 8:07. Let me find out, Jazz. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's going on, baby?
You got me in here getting in trouble.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah, you good? Hey, your trouble. Yeah, I ain't do nothing. At least I'm not involved.
You left me with this time on my hands, so I'm blaming Alicia for cutting up. You know, we're taking our show on the road this weekend. We're going to be in Detroit, Michigan, so I'm excited about that.
Hey, that's what's up.
So I told them to come out. If you're in the area, please come out and give us a shout-out and come on over and watch Alicia act up. But don't tell her I said she's acting up, Jazz. That's our secret.
She always acting up, man. That's what she do. That's how she get there.
I'm blaming it on Leash. So how you doing, Jazz? What's going on?
I'm all right. What's happening? You know, everything good? What's going on with you?
Everything. I'm good. I'm keeping busy. You know, there's no grass growing under my feet over here in my camp.
Absolutely.
So any boxing news? I actually saw some MMA over the weekend. I don't know if I was watching a rerun, but I was watching some MMA.
What? Okay.
Now, don't give me the line about who was there, but it was on my TV, and I just sat there and watched it.
Okay, all right. Was it violent?
Oh, man, it's always violent. I don't know how you sit there and watch that, Jazz. Blood everywhere.
Yeah, it was UFC. It was MMA. If it was violent, so we had. Now I know. First of all, I know people always say, "Man, Jazz always say every fight's the fight of the year, dude." if you saw the Klitschko Joshua fight, it was. Yo, it was great. Mm-hmm. It was fantastic. It was stupendous. That is the way heavyweight boxing is supposed to be for. Mm-hmm. They went 11 rounds. Joshua knocked Klitschko down in the fifth round. Klitschko knocked him down in the sixth round. And then Joshua knocked him down twice in the 11th round, then they finally stopped it. Dude, it was a great seesaw battle, back and forth. Joshua showed the good to be the heavyweight champion of the world, without a doubt. He took out the former king. So, if Klitschko has a rematch clause in his contract, he said right now he don't know if he's going to initiate the rematch clause, so we got to wait and see about that. Wilder is supposed to be fighting this Joker. I mean, he got a belt, so Wilder's supposed to fight him. If Wilder wins that fight, then him and Joshua should be fighting by next year. maybe yeah. two. My man Chico said it take 2 years. I'm going to say by next year. I think they're going to do it. If unless Klitschko does the rematch. If Klitschko doesn't do the rematch, they'll fight next year. And so, and I'm saying it here, May 2nd, 2017. If they fight, Joshua knocks Wilder out. Straight up knockout.
Wow.
Straight up.
So you guys heard it right here. Jazz is making that prediction.
Telling you. So if anybody differs in my opinion, more than welcome to call in. We could debate it. But I'm telling you, Wilder has never fought anybody like Klitschko.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that mm-hmm. Joshua came through that storm and won that fight, for me, he's the mm-hmm. odds-on favorite right now. So that was, and this weekend, Canelo Alvarez is supposed to fight Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. I predict a Canelo knockout in probably 8 rounds. I think it'll probably knock him out in 8. You know, Chavez has, he has lost, 4 of his last 5, maybe, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's 4 of his last 5. I think 2 by knockout, I believe. So, excuse me, he's definitely on the downside of his career. This will probably be the last major fight he'll be in. So, yeah, I expect for him to get knocked out. So,
yeah, I was about to say,
what
do you think
it'll
be his last one? Jazz, did we lose you? You may be having a little difficulty with Jazz. Jazz, we can't hear you. Not sure if you can hear us. But we were talking about this fight that may be one of his guys' last fight. And right now, until Jazz gets his mic situated, we're going to take a commercial break. And I like that boss chick. Jazz, I'm going to play that while you get yourself situated. We're going to be right back once again. This is Tony, and Jazz is coming right back. As soon as he adjusts his mic, you're listening to The Scoreboard. We are your radio tailgate party. We join you here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Guys, hold on to those sports questions and those sports analogies. We're going to be right back.
Hey, these motherfuckers ain't really understanding me out here, man. My name's motherfucking Boss Chick. There's no female out there that can see me. What the fuck is wrong with y'all?
Look, I'll be riding with them pros.
Okay.
357 Big Magnum. Coop like a sick bro has them. Never gotta get my hair dirty. Maybe I'll get that Bentley. Maybe I'll get the Phantom. Thanks to all my AMI, baby, with gaming bananas. Maybe I'm off that drum. Maybe I'm off that dough. Maybe I'm on the low with several females trained to go. This is my land, my turf. No, sorry, we do the most. I'm from the town where killers seem to be the thing. Wait, no. Catch me off them gators. Catch me down in Vegas. Catch me in the A until I get up off these papers. They had me down in Clayton. 7 years up in the stinking. Some bitch ass nigga broke the code. Stop snitching. Oh, baby, room. That's my baby. All I do is me. So the more money, more hate. Maybe I'm about that life. Maybe I'm strapped to twice. Maybe I'm in the hood shooting CeeLo second date. Trying to come up major. From the block to the scrape. Whether now or it's later. Already been famous. As you dream it, keep on dreaming. Till the day it is a fact. That nigga mind over everything. Simple shit like that. You know what I mean? We out here.
I tell these niggas.
Motherfucker, I'm in the
space. Holding it down.
I'm in my people. Let's see what the fuck we do.
It's the one and only the boss lady, Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
Yes, we are back. We are back. Jazz is all situated, and we definitely got to update that drop from the boss ladies. I got to make sure I send her a message. We need to. We got to update that with her new material.
No doubt.
So as
absolutely.
You were saying, Jess, you think it's going to be your boy's last fight?
I think Chavez Jr. will probably, he should retire after this. Like I said, I mean, I think that he's living off his dad's name. I don't think he got, I mean, honestly, he's lost the last, like I said, 3 out of 4, 4 out of 5. I think he needs to retire. Mm-hmm. He doesn't really train anymore, and everybody keeps saying that. Mm-hmm. Like, his heart's not even in it at this point. He's just fighting for
wow.
checks. So, yeah, he needs to go ahead and retire, you know. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. worth it. I mean, he's fighting pay-per-view. He's fighting Canelo pay-per-view, and that's only so that Al Heyman could get some money, the last little bit of money that he owes. And then he probably mm-hmm. should retire. Same thing with Andre Berto. I think Andre Berto needs to retire, too. I think they both have,
how long
you know,
have they been fighting, though, Jazz?
I think Chavez has been fighting. Chavez is relatively young when it comes to fighting. It's just his heart's not in it. He fights. I think mm-hmm. he fights because, you know, his dad's name, and, you know, he can make some money off the name. I think that in the beginning he might have fought because he thought that he could get rich, and, you know, but he doesn't put in the work. He doesn't put in the work. He doesn't train. I don't think he's doing it for the right reasons. I mean, you know, I just don't believe that he has that fire that you see most boxers have who do it for an extended amount of time. You know what I'm saying? Even his dad has questioned that, you know, over time.
Really?
You know, asking him, you know, is he fighting? Does he really want to fight? But, you know, he mm-hmm. keep going out there. So, like I said, this last fight with Canelo, like I said, Canelo knocks him out in 8. And after that, I think Chavez should probably retire. Just go ahead and give it up.
Well, you know, if his dad is questioning whether his heart in it, but once your heart leaves whatever it is that you were once passionate about, it's just a waste of time, you know, and you're just taking up real estate that someone else can be out there putting their heart and soul into. So when the heart goes, so should you. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, you know, it's not like, you know, because of his name, because of his dad, it wasn't like he was, you know, if he want to make money, he's going to be a boxer. You know what I'm saying? Because he has that Chavez name. He got the Chavez blood. And, you know, people in Mexico still to this day, you know, have a lot of admiration and love for his dad. So he gets mm-hmm. a lot of that love as an extension because he's junior. But a lot of people are beginning to realize that he doesn't even want to fight. He's not really, he's not a mm-hmm. true blue boxer. He don't want to fight. You know, mm-hmm. so a lot of people recognizing that. And if you watch it on Saturday, you'll probably recognize it too.
Mm-hmm. But that's kind of like, you know, Jazz, you know, we do a lot of work with authors. And sometimes, you know, someone may want to write thinking they're going to get rich. And it's not that at all. You know, writing that I've come to learn is hard work. You gotta put the work in from start mm-hmm. to finish, and your heart has to be in it. You don't just write a book and you're instantly, you know, a bestseller, or your pockets are just overflowing. So mm-hmm. if your heart is not in it, you don't put as much into it to be as successful as you can, and that passion should be spent somewhere else. You know, so it's not a mm-hmm. it's not a guaranteed get rich quick.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's like anything else. I mean, the heart's not in it, people are going to see it. And when he fights, people don't see the heart and the passion. They see him passing time till he gets his check at the end of the fight.
Mhm. Wow. And who wants to watch that, though?
Yeah.
Just like if
and
I read a book,
people,
I could tell it was just thrown up there. I won't be going back to that same author if I don't see the
absolutely.
Effort and the heart and soul in that book. But, Jazz,
absolutely.
You know, we've just had the 2017 draft,
absolutely.
And I want to spend some time because we haven't really spent any time with
no
the
doubt.
NFL lately. And it was some surprises. It was some surprises.
Absolutely.
Were you surprised at where certain players went and who went where
well,
and who didn't make it out of the first round?
let me cite three. First one is everybody was surprised that Chicago traded with San Fran to get the number two to draft a quarterback. And considering they just signed Mike Glennon to that 3-year deal with, I think, $18 million guaranteed. And then they draft a quarterback that some people believe he's a project. I don't think he's ready because he's only had 13 starts in his college career. So I don't think he's ready. But I guess obviously Chicago thought they got the jump on San Fran. And then the funny part was San Fran tweeted out later on that night and said, we wasn't going to draft him anyway. So thank you, Chicago, because we wasn't going to draft him anyway. And we still got the player we drafted that we wanted. So that was the first one. The second one was Cleveland drafting Jabril Peppers. I didn't see that. Not at 25. I didn't see that. So that was a surprise. And the third surprise was Fournette going 4 to Jacksonville. I didn't really like that pick because I felt like, you know, Jacksonville already has two capable running backs in Chris Ivory and I forget the other guy's name out of Alabama. And, you know, so for them to then draft Fournette, who, in my opinion, I think he's soft. I don't think that he's soft. When he had to play the upper echelon teams, he didn't do as well as when he played second-tier teams. So though that was three, you know what I'm saying, at our site. Now, what about you? What surprised you?
What surprised me was, first of all, you know, I paid close attention to my Homer teams, but I was surprised that Jamal Adams was still there at number 6, and even more surprised that the Jets took him. So I'm happy with that. I was hoping he went with the Giants because his dad played with the NFL Giants, and they won that championship. So, you know, he has that NFL pedigree, as we say. But I'm glad that one of the New York teams took him. So I like him. Did you watch him play at all? You know, I don't watch a lot of college football until like towards the end.
Yeah, I mean, I like Adams. I just didn't understand why. I have no problem with Adams because the Jets are horrible on defense, especially
they need some
at
they need
safety.
Some of everything.
Yeah, they need. So, I mean, I wasn't surprised by that. I was more surprised that they took another safety in the second round. I didn't understand that. Why would you take two safeties to back in the same round, in the same draft? I didn't understand that. That didn't make any sense to me when you have so many other needs. Then they turned around and drafted two wide receivers in the third round and the fourth round back to back. I didn't understand that either. But yeah, so I mean, I like the pick of Adams at 6 because they couldn't stop the pass for nothing last year, especially safety.
And also, I like the I listened to him talk. You know, I've been listening to the new draftees because they've been making their sports round. I'm waiting for them to get you know, get our little scoreboard up in the round of media.
Yeah, no doubt.
But I was. I hope one of these new draftees can come and just share. Just all we need is 5 minutes, right, Jazz? We don't need a whole lot of time.
Absolutely.
But I also, I listen to him speak, Jazz, and he speaks very well. He has, you can hear the leadership in the way he speaks. He thinks before he speaks. And I just like everything that I have learned about him slightly before the draft and since the draft. And if there's one thing that the Jets don't have in their locker room is leadership. Now, I know he's a newbie coming in and he's going to, you know, pay his price, but you got to have somebody in there that just has some type of take leadership control And I don't expect him to do it in the beginning, but eventually down the road, I can see him being a leader in the locker room.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with that. Excuse me. Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think he speaks very well. Did anything else surprise you?
The Giants. Now, I heard Jerry Reese speak today, and one of the questions here in New York is, they were really high on O.J. Howard.
Yeah,
O.J. Howard. They were really high on O.J. Howard, and we picked 23, and I think he went at 19. So as it got closer and closer to the Giants' pick, people were wondering if they were going to move up and get the player that they really wanted. But now that they didn't do that, we ended up with Evan Engram. I didn't know much about him, but it seems like he is, quote unquote, a glorified wide receiver, even though he's listed as a tight end. Well, do you know anything about him?
Well, I mean, I read a couple of things about him being more of a wide receiver type, but you know, if you're trying to get Eli weapon, then you know, can you, you know, when I think of wide receiver / tight ends, I think of Jimmy Graham. And you know, maybe to a lesser degree Gronk, because Gronk blocks. But you know, if you want to say that the Giants picked a Jimmy Graham type player, then if I'm Eli Manning, I'm happy. That's another weapon I could get to go down the scene. You know, put him with Shepard and put him with Odell. It gives me another weapon. So if that's what you're shooting for, I'm okay with that. If I'm if I'm trying to play more of a power offense, you know, if I'm trying to play more of a power offense where we're going, you know, two tight ends, you know, then yeah, I might be a little discouraged by that because the guy's not a blocker. And he readily admits he's not a blocker. But if you're trying to get weapons, he is definitely a weapon. I mean, you got to agree with that.
I do agree with that. And also, you know, they have that Ole Miss commonality as well, he and Eli. So
Absolutely. That's
one thing that I like that about him as well. But I'm actually excited about this draft. I think I was surprised that a quarterback wasn't gotten. You know, Eli is on the last nine of his career. Even though he's had a stellar career as far as not missing one game, and I don't want to jinx him, so let me find some wood.
Yeah, no doubt.
No one else in the league can say that. So, you know, they have to start thinking about that side of the business, of the game, of the organization, because he has to be groomed. He has to be, you know, see what it is to be able to fill Eli's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
So
true.
It's interesting, you know, that I mean, I think we got a quarterback. Was it in the third round? I think it was the third round. I think it was the third round. We did get a quarterback.
Yeah. I mean, and
so
you
how
know,
did
that
you?
Seems
how
to
did?
Be, you know, that seems to be the way you know some teams go now. They want to you know get a quarterback later and groom them. You know, like I say, you think of Russell Wilson. You know, there are a lot of quarterbacks that are playing now that are not first-round picks. You know, Kirk Cousins, another example, third-round pick. Russell Wilson was third-round pick. I could probably think of four or five more that they were, you know, second-round and below. Tom Brady was a seventh-round pick, you know. I mean, but, you know, teams are like, they're trying to go – whether it's defense, offense, they're trying to go with a skill position. And then you get a quarterback later on, you know, because, again, if I'm a payer guy, guaranteed money, he's going to have to pee on the field. And I'm not paying a quarterback guaranteed money and for the first 2 years he doesn't play. I ain't got time for that. You know what I mean?
That's kind of
what's going on with the Jets now.
They have two quarterbacks that haven't really seen any play. One definitely hasn't seen any play. So it's like, do you want to waste your picks and not see them on the green? So what do you do with that?
Well, with those draft picks being, you know, pretty low, you know, you could wait because, again, you don't really have guaranteed money tied to either of them players. You know, Geno's with the Giants now, but when he was with the Jets, he was a second round pick, so you didn't have guaranteed money tied into him. And Bryce Petty was a fourth, fifth rounder, maybe third. So you didn't have any guaranteed money tied into him. You look at Chicago, for instance. In 2 years, if Trubisky is not starting, that GM probably gets fired. Because you're paying him. You're paying him starting money.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
did you see, I mean, there was a lot of boos when Chicago picked him. But did you
Absolutely.
See the game at, did you see the Cleveland game when he was introduced, how the crowd booed him? Did you see that?
Yeah, they were pretty demonstrative. They, you know.
That's a good word. Demonstrative.
Yeah, they were pretty, you know. They let it be known how they felt, you know. I ain't mad at them, you know. I can't be mad at them. I really can't.
Wow.
I mean, if I'm a Chicago fan, I wouldn't have been happy either, being honest with you. Because you just signed
really?
Mike Glennon. I mean, you just signed Mike Glennon. So you could have waited till next year to get a quarterback. With all the other things that you're lacking,
right.
And with the second overall pick in the draft, you pick a quarterback? Give me
that
a.
That only takes 13 games.
Yeah. I mean, come on, man. You could have came out better than that. You need defensive help.
Yes.
You need cornerback.
Yes.
You need linebacker. You need defensive end. And you going to tell me, instead of picking the defensive end that San Fran took, you couldn't have traded up and got him?
You're pretty much, that's just as good as the first because you have your choice of anybody on that board.
Yeah, it's that one guy.
Anybody. The cream of the crop, except the first one that went. And it may not even been in the position that you needed, but it's you're much better than everybody behind you.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it. I mean, and also, you look at where the quarterbacks went. You know, the second quarterback taken was, what's the old boy out of, McComb.
Patrick Mahomes. Mahoney.
Yeah, Mahomes.
Patrick Mahomes.
You know, from Texas Tech. And what happened was when he was picked, because a lot of pre-draft, you know, an analyst had him going, you know, maybe a little towards the end of the first round.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so when he was taken, Houston, who was sitting later on, because A lot of analysts had McComb going later on. So when Kansas City jumps up and they pick him, Houston was like, "Wait a minute," because you know most people had Watson going to Arizona at 13.
Exactly.
So Houston was like, "Wait a minute." If Kansas City is picking 11, if we don't 12, we know Arizona's picking Watson at 13. So Houston had to trade up in a frenzy to get Watson at 12, which in my opinion was a great place for him to land.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
And then Arizona is stuck. Like, damn. So now we got to pick a linebacker. Nothing wrong with that. But
mm-hmm.
they still need a quarterback for Carson Palmer. 38. And he get broke up.
Mm-hmm.
How many years does he have left? And, you know, this was the draft that was supposed to be deep enough for them to sit at 13 and get their quarterback of the future.
Mm-hmm. Wow. But, you know, a lot of the analysts, Jazz, were talking about, like, the Deshaun Watson and the Mitch Trubisky's, how early they were going to go in the draft. But I still can't get over Chicago picking it at 2. But I thought that Deshaun Watson, that's still just boggling my mind. But so you think that Deshaun Watson going at 12 was a pretty good place for him?
I mean, you know, talking to a friend of mine, like I said to him, we was all having a little slight debate about it. For me, I'm glad to see Deshaun Watson go 12 to Houston, then go 6 to the Jets. Mm-hmm. The Jets mm. are trash. And if he would have went to the Jets, he would have got butchered. He'd got butchered.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes to a team, either going 12 to Houston or 13 to Arizona. He's going to a team, you know, that Houston won a division the last 2 years without a quarterback. And
mm-hmm.
Arizona isn't that far away. So either way, he lands on his feet. You know what I'm saying?
I see. But also, Jazz, I want to just back up because, you know, they were talking about the Niners made a great pick, picking Solomon Thomas, that the defensive end out of Stanford. What, have you seen him play? Mm-hmm. You like that at number 3?
I've seen a little bit of him. You know, most of it was film, you know, during the draft or whatever. But I'm comfortable with that because I think that, you know, when you think about John Lynch is, you know, he's like, yo, we know that we're down, but
mm-hmm.
he's trying to accumulate players. And
mm-hmm.
I have no problem with him drafting Solomon 3, especially considering you suck at Chicago to give you 3 picks and trade positions with you. So that's
mm-hmm.
a win by itself. And then you still get the player that you wanted to start with. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I'm good. I mean, I think San Fran did a great job. I mean, you know, I mean, Cleveland had 3 number one. Ended up with 3 first-round draft picks. So
mm-hmm.
all defensive guys. So a lot of people were saying that Cleveland should have drafted a quarterback. But if I'm Cleveland, I got too many other needs to be worried about a quarterback. I get a quarterback next year.
Right.
But and plus
and
none
just,
of these guys
just listening to really wanted to go there. You talk about the Jets being a mess. We talking about Cleveland. I mean, I'm listening to the guys as they're being interviewed and they're being asked where would they like to go. And if you drafted high, you know, Cleveland being number one, they didn't seem really thrilled about being the first pick. So I'm sure that once that first pick was done, there was a few sighs of relief in that place.
Well, you know, Cleveland.
Who didn't get picked.
I mean, you know, you want to, it's not about, I mean, the whole thing about Cleveland is, you know, if you go there, you give it your all. And then,
mm-hmm.
you know, if it's going good, you stay. I mean, Alex Mack, he really doesn't have a problem in Cleveland. You know, not Alex Mack. I mean, Joe Thomas. I'm sorry. I mean, Joe Thomas. I mean, you know, so Cleveland, The biggest thing about Cleveland is you don't know how long Hugh Jackson is going to get. Is he going to get another year? Is he going to get another 2 years? You know what I mean? That's the bigger issue. How long is Hugh going to get?
Okay.
You know what I mean? But
I like you.
If you give him a couple years. Yeah, I mean, if you give him a couple years, I think that he might be able to turn it around, but you got to give him a chance. When I tell you what, look, to change the subject real quick.
He has to have the players too, Jazz. I'm sorry. But
yeah,
he has to have the players
look,
in order to make that turn around.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And all that comes with good drafting because if you notice in the past, Cleveland has not drafted well at all. At all. They've had 2-3 number one picks, first round picks, and suck on all three of them and whiff on all three of them. So I'm not – with a new regime, we'll see if these picks turn into something. But when you look at the three guys that they pick, they all have talent because Garrett is the best D lineman in draft, undoubtedly, unmistakably.
Mm-hmm.
Jabari Peppers has talent. From East Orange, New Jersey, he has talent, without a doubt. Now, you could talk about the drug test, whatever. He has talent. And for Cleveland, we need talent. We'll worry about the other stuff later. We need talent. And they need players. And the good thing about going to Cleveland is if you go to Cleveland, you're playing. You're not sitting. And if you're a player, you want to get on the field.
But
so there's some good things
about
Cleveland.
East Orange. Talk about East Orange. New Jersey, there were quite a few players that made East Orange proud. And we're just hoping that we can get some play here on the scoreboard. It may be worked on in the back. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yeah.
I hope I'm not jinxing myself. But they made Jersey proud this draft.
Absolutely.
Made
and,
Jersey
you know,
proud. So.
Absolutely, baby. It's the Bricks, baby. It's what we do. So I do want to say. No, I was going to say I hate the Raiders getting Marshawn Lynch, but I'm over that.
I was going to ask you about your Raiders. We're going to take 201-486. You live on the scoreboard with Jazz and Tony. Hey.
Hi, hello. Is that Jazz? Is that Miss Tony? Can y'all hear me? Because, you know, I'll be calling in and my mic is
what up?
Again. You know what I'm saying? I was trying to take a minute. I was like, let me listen to the scoreboard because it was quiet where I am for 15 minutes. I said, let me call in. And he was talking so good. Then he said, they start talking about Jersey and my baby Jabari. Yes, you never know. I might have to put a filler out there because, you know, my nephews and all them played together. They all played Pop Warner and all that stuff together, all of them coming up out of EO. Yes, they all played together. And it's good to see that he made it.
Oh, we would love to have them.
A lot of their friends got murdered. I know. I'm going to have to give a kind word. I'm going to have to put my fillers out there. I didn't know you guys, you know what I'm saying? You know I'm Jersey born and bred.
Yeah, man, yo. I'm glad that he, because a lot of people had him going in the second round. So I'm glad that Cleveland made the choice to choose him in the first round because everybody agrees he has first round talent. It was just the off the field stuff but you had that a lot this year in the draft. A lot of guys, you know, like Connolly who got drafted by the Raiders, he has that rape allegation. And, you know, you don't know how that's going to turn out. You had another guy who got drafted that punched the young lady in Florida and knocked her unconscious and messed up her dental work. You had a lot of guys who had the questionable Reuben Foster, the linebacker from Alabama, who had the diluted urine samples, stuff like that. So you had teams that, but you know, in the back in the past, you know, teams was like, okay, we're not going to draft them guys, la la la. Nowadays, teams are like, look, he got some issues, but dude got talent. So you know what? We're going to take a fly
on
that.
Yeah, we can work through this. But you know what? I think it's working in reverse because way back before social media really put all these guys' offenses out there, you know what I'm saying? The coaches and stuff was like the buffers. They hid the baby mamas. They hid the side chicks. They hid the drugs. They hid everything.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? You didn't know the business, but then now you got social media people incriminating their own self in real time. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Got out in the street.
Absolutely.
And it's harder for the team captains and the coaches and everybody to try to buffer, you know what I'm saying, some of that stuff. So now it's more out there. But there's nothing new to these things happening in sports and being covered up. You know what I'm saying? Domestic violence, drugs, you know, extramarital affairs. That stuff has been going on since the beginning of the time of sports. Just that now you have the social aspect, you know, and people's mouths is just retarded. They don't know what to do and say when they get drunk and high. They tell everything, you know. The next morning they wake up like, dummy, you done broke every morality code in your contract. We can't even help you. It's on CNN. You know what I'm saying? We can't even help you. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's on film. It's on somebody that put it on
like
their camera.
With social media, you got to realize that, remember back in the day, if you did something in Chicago, you didn't hear about it in California.
Now, if you do something
in Chicago, before you land in California, they already know.
Oh, absolutely. And standing at the airport waiting to catch you at it. You're like, what they going? I did that an hour ago.
What are you talking about?
I did that while I was still in the air. How'd you figure?
You know what I mean? How you find out?
Somebody who came for Wi-Fi to Snapchatted you being ratchet up in the air.
What
you know,
is
that?
Yeah, I mean, prime example. Remember last year with the young man from Miami, Tunsil, with the gas mask, with the weed and all that.
Yeah.
And they showed it during the draft, and everybody like this. You can't be kidding me. You actually did this and let somebody film it? Like, are you stupid?
Yeah.
Like, you
turn
you
up.
Can't be that naive, son.
And his stock went down right before his eyes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then the other dude who was cheating and taped it and told. But I'm like, what happened to the bro code? Like, y'all some.
They didn't put the cheerleading outfit on him.
He don't get to wear the outfit no more. He gets to put the cheerleading skirt on, sir. Give him, hand in your jock strap, sir. Get one of these cheerleading panties and put it on, because you have violated.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, I mean, times are different now. It's not like it used to be. I mean, especially with social media being so active, and then you have agencies like TMZ being aggressive and getting. They're getting the information. You know what I'm saying? Like Ray Rice. Nobody knew about the rape. Nobody, when the video came out, is when it really touched. Then everybody was like, wow.
Yeah, they saw it in real time. Exactly.
But when they were talking about it, it's no big deal. Yeah, it's no big deal. I mean, you know, they had a little incident.
They had a heated conversation. He almost knocked her head off her damn shoulders. So they had a little altercation. She almost lost her life in that elevator.
Yeah, you ain't lying. He went in for real. Yeah, he went in for real.
That was out of control. He hit her like she was a man. And obviously he'd been doing it for a while because he ain't hesitate. You know what I'm saying? He did not hesitate. He didn't even switch speed.
Nah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, nowadays, you know, if anything, the lesson that should be learned is that, you know, as a potential pro athlete, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, hockey, soccer, whatever, once your name becomes relevant, even when it's not relevant, you need to realize that you have to keep everything, you have to stay focused. You got to stay out the news.
Right.
You can't be trying to gain a million followers on Instagram. You'll get that. You'll get that when you sign the contract, son.
Right.
But you got to get the contract first.
Right.
Yeah, you
got
to get the contract first.
And then you got to maintain it. Then you got to maintain it. You know, and I learned from, you know, listening to Oprah talk about when she first became rich and she went right back to her family members and she started buying, you know, buying them houses and different things. And within a certain period of time, they began to lose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then she said she realized that you can't just take a person in a poverty mindset and just give them money. She said they
Absolutely.
Had to be trained, right? And that's the problem, you know, with these athletes, young athletes, you know what I'm saying, coming into money, coming into fame, coming into massive amounts of women, you know, they never would have had
mm-hmm.
contact with on no day. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Not no day.
No doubt.
No matter how dressed up fly they was, they wouldn't have been able to speak to. And then you have
mm-hmm.
nobody passing out real guidance. You know what I'm saying? Even back in the, you know, coaches even took a different type of mindset. They, like, took the players on, like, this is my son for real. Like, if he mess up,
yeah.
we all mess up. You know what
no
I'm
doubt.
Saying? And
yeah.
made the other team members accountable. You know what I'm saying? You your brother's keeper. If one of y'all mess
mm-hmm.
up, it mess up the whole team. So you better not let him mess up. You know what I'm saying? Or they had a buddy
mm-hmm.
system. Like, look, you stay with him. If he
uh-huh.
F up, you F up too. If he don't play, you don't play. So now you have somebody holding you accountable for your behavior. You know what I'm saying? For your actions. And then you need to put somebody in place as soon as possible to help you manage your money. You know what I'm saying? And to speak
right.
to you
mm-hmm.
with a real heart. Not no young boy that's your age, but somebody with some seasoned experience, preferably I would say somebody married or with a family that has some interest that can definitely stand by your side versus somebody who will sign you today and be over there signing somebody else tomorrow and not caring about your career and your finances and your well-being. You know what
mm-hmm.
I'm saying? Educate yourself, you know, and arm yourself with as much goodness that you can put around you, because that money and fame and stuff changes people for the worst. You know what I'm saying? And it's sad to see our young brothers come up out that hood, and within so many years, they right back in that same hood. You know what I'm saying? Then no
yeah.
investments with the money. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Nothing. Just wasted. You know what I'm saying?
Nothing
you were famous, and all you got is newspaper clippings. Yeah, and once upon a time story. You know what I'm saying? You know,
exactly.
Absolutely.
Shout out to my boy Colin Kaepernick. He is still my quarterback. Love him to death. He just gave out some suits to parolees. So shout out to
oh yeah,
y'all
saw that article, man.
Mm-hmm. Doing his thing. He's still out there doing his thing. I don't know, you know, where he gonna be playing, but I love the brother. He's taking a stand for something, you know, and he's sticking to it, you know, regardless of what it's costing him. And I say that's honorable, and that's the sign of a man. You know what I'm saying? Making
that's
a stand cool. in life, whatever that is going to be, and following through with it, whatever that's going to be. You know what I'm
yeah,
saying?
Yeah,
so I respect him. Absolutely.
But that's his right as an American, and people fail to realize that, you know, as an American, that is his right. Just like everybody else has a
mm-hmm.
right, he has a right,
mm-hmm.
you know. But they don't
mm-hmm.
focus in on the good that he's doing, you know. They focus in
right.
on the flag issue, but he
mm-hmm.
does so much more
right.
that's not put to the forefront of this whole
mm-hmm.
flag situation.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, you can't.
But I think
he's
gonna get picked up.
You know, the only thing about Kaepernick is he doesn't. I hope that he's working on his craft while he's waiting. That's the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he's working on his craft, then that would be better. I just hope that he's not just like, yeah. You know, remember the San Fran days. Thomas, you know, I hope that he's understanding how to read defenses now, how to throw a seam
mm-hmm.
route, how to, you know what I mean? How
mm-hmm.
to throw a deep
mm-hmm.
pass
Absolutely.
Accurately.
How to not panic in the grind. You know
exactly.
what I'm saying? When the crunch comes, because
he
panics in the clutch. He panics in the clutch, and he got a lot of skills, but they all go jumbling through his head. It's like you could see massive plays running through Kaepernick's mind when that ball gets in his hand. You know what I'm saying? Do I run? Do I go? Do I throw? Do I, you know what I'm saying? You can see those things happening,
mm-hmm.
especially when it's crunch time. It's like, oh, then he's so young. And that's all I used to say is he's so tender, he's so young, but he could be an animal, you know what I'm saying, if he just learned how to organize everything in his head. when it's crunch time. You know what I'm saying? That's what made Montana great. You know what I'm saying? When, man, Montana used to get that freaking ball down that thing like nobody's business. Like, you could see him just like, yo, right there, boom. And then Rice would be right there, pow. You know what I'm saying? Like, here we go. And just go right, you know, right in people's hands. And that is what is missing. You know what I'm saying? That's what's missing. A lot of these athletes aren't prepared for that gridiron, that real hardcore in the crunch, being able to think, process, and move that ball without dropping it. You know what I'm saying? Without going on, like, back in the day, them balls got down that field by any means necessary. They was running people head over. It used to be ugly. You know, the Raiders was one of them that used to put injuries on somebody. They used to hurt people. So, yeah.
Yeah,
they,
but you know, you know how that is. It's a different league now. They don't.
Yeah.
They don't play like that.
Everybody's
no more.
Everybody's so pretty. They scared to get they perm messed up. But
yeah.
Everybody's
can't
so
do that no more.
Put a helmet off. We got blonde tips and pink tips, and everybody's so fancy. You know what I'm saying? Gold chains. I'm like, y'all gonna mess around and choke the hell out of yourself. You don't take that jewelry off.
I know. That boggles my mind. An earring.
Ooh, you're too pretty.
Come on.
Yeah. But you're not catching the ball. You know what I'm saying? What are you catching? You're not catching the ball. You over here dabbing and everything. Like, catch the freaking ball. Like, keep it in your hand. I see so many fumbles. It's ridiculous. The ball's saying nobody's hand. I don't know what they're practicing. What they doing at practice, I don't understand. I don't know what they're doing. Nobody holds the ball. It's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. I'm going to came on here.
But I think
Cap's going to
get picked up. No, I think Cap is going to get picked up because, you know, him and the other player that hasn't been picked up, you know, once the season starts, injuries fall into play.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, they're going to be looking for those players. So I think that he will land somewhere before the season starts.
If he even wants to, you never know. Sure, we might want one thing and his destiny might be something totally different. You see the type of work he does, you never know. That might have just been a catalyst to give him a celebrity to do what he's really, you know, truly made to do. You know what I'm saying? We don't know nobody's calling.
Mm-hmm.
And you just never know. That might have just pushed him in because you see the humanitarian work he does and the things that he is passionate about. So
absolutely.
That might just have been a small, you know, walk in his history and maybe he'll do something even greater than, you know, football. So.
True,
I would
indeed.
Love to see him just be successful. I think he got a good spirit, and I think he got a long life ahead of him, you know, as a career and whatever he does. So, shout out to Kaepernick. 49ers all day player, all day.
Not in nature right now.
What you say, Miss Tony? What did you say, Miss Tony?
I said
Miss
not Tony. In nature.
Yes, I was about to say, I'm coming to New York. I'm about to catch me a bus or a plane. No, I ain't getting on nobody's bus. You playing. You know I'm going to be on a flight. I'll catch you.
You know I got to talk that talk like, about your Niners. Your Niners.
I love them to death.
You talk about flashes.
You know what? I'm not going to do this with y'all right now because I'm in a good spirit. I'm writing the Pussy Trap Part 5. That'll be out soon. Be on the lookout for that. Exclusive. It'll be exclusive coming soon. Make sure y'all stay tuned. Cause, you know, continue to check in and call in and press your ones and talk that talk. Talk those sports. You know, I'm
absolutely.
Here. We may be going
I
live,
told them
so
to get
I'm
ready
excited.
At the top of the show that P-Trap 5 is going to be heating up by Summer Reed. So make sure you guys are ready. And you can pre-order. Make sure you get on over there to Amazon and pre-order. You can find it on Nene's page. As well as mine, and I did put it on Jasmine's page. I'm not sure if you've seen it, Jasmine. It's on your page as well.
Jasmine Trapp. That's why he's still over here with us. We threw that net on Jazz so long ago. He don't even know what to do with himself. He's like, he in the trap. He ain't coming out. He's like, I'll be in the trap. He's in the trap. Okay, it's 9:00.
There you go, Jazz.
We love you, Jazz. Thank you, Jazz. Thank you, Jazz. We love you. Thank you. Thank you, Miss Tony. Thank you, all my callers and listeners. I think we lost Jazz. Jazz though, fell off the line. He don't want to hear that type of talk. God bless America. No place else. But Miss Tony, it's
well,
her
anyway.
Show. I'm just here.
Well, thank you for joining us, Boss Lady. I'm not sure where our partner, Mr. Jazz, scurried off to,
he
so we're going to go ahead and.
Mm-hmm.
All right. He got the nerve to do that when the boss lady is in the clubhouse. Can you believe it, Jazz?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to have to talk to you, buddy.
A little scary stuff. A little scary stuff. He scared I was going to flatten his tires when I came outside. He ran off. That's how Charlie do. That's how Charlie do. We don't even know if Charlie exists. We can't even meet him in the parking lot. He gone.
Jazz is our Charlie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, anyway,
we don't know what he looks like. We never met him.
I know, right? Well, we want to thank everybody for joining in and tuning in. And Boss Lady, everyone is listening. They were happy you joined us tonight. They say you're right. The play is all too flashy these days.
Yes. Out of control. Out of control. Thanks for having me, Miss Tony.
Absolutely.
I'll join you guys again.
Oh, you know you. You always welcome. Your name is on the marquee.
Thank
we got to keep it up in light.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
I know. And he be put park trying to park in my parking space. He'll bust Jazz up. Go ahead.
Uh-oh, Jazz. I can't help you. I can't help you there, buddy. You know, I got you in there everywhere else, but we can be parking in Boss Lady's spot.
Mm-mm. When you come back to Atlanta, he's getting jumped. That's it. He's going down.
Well, that will be in July. July, I'll be right there.
Excellent.
But once again, everybody,
I'm
listening
excited.
To the scoreboard. That's the one and only Boss Lady herself. She is putting that P-Trap 5 together. Make sure you head on over to Amazon and pre-order your copy. And if you don't want to head to Amazon, just head on over to Nini's page, and you can also get it on my page. But put that pre-order in because the heat is coming, and I don't mean the weather. That's that Nini pen.
Trapping.
Get ready, guys.
Have a good one. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll be back here next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Good night, everybody. And thanks again, Boss Lady.
Thank you. Maybe you could drop that beat. Do y'all do that on Tuesday?
Absolutely. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber, nigga. I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I'm always making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber, yeah.
I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber, nigga.
I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber.
I'm always making moves like a Uber,
yeah.
From the block to the billboard. Making platinum records, nigga, I was built for it. Making millions after millions, man, I live for it. I never sell my soul, but I kill for it. I'm a street cat, I be where the street at. I got street cred, you can check my street facts. It's rules to the game, believe it. Never call the police and never call defects. I be on the block where the thugs ain't. He's taking lots of tails with the plug ring. It's money over bitches, ain't no love, man. They say that I'm a dog, so I let my nerves hang. Where I'm from, they be trapping out the bando. Shoebox money wrapped in rubber bands, ho. For them blue face hunters, I go ham for. I keep the stick talking like them John Rambo.
Blah.
I be making moves like a Uber, like a Uber. I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber, nigga.
I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber.
I'm always making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber, yeah.
I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber.
I be making moves like a Uber, nigga.
Like a Uber, nigga.
I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber.
I'm always making moves like a Uber,
like a
Uber. I be making moves like a Uber,
like a Uber.
I'm always making moves for the moolah,
yeah.
My pull-up game strong like a Uber.